Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymere Church of Christ.
I want to thank Andrew and the shepherds for the opportunity to be able to speak with you this evening and gathering. Am I supposed to do something to get the... They say, hold on a minute. There we go. I was getting scared for a moment thinking, okay, I'm doing this from memory. And speaking of memory, there we go. Now it's on the screen in front of me as well. I really thought I was going to be doing it from memory. As I was thinking what would be a good thing to share this evening, I knew that we were going to have children in the audience because connection is not taking place this evening. So I wanted to share something with you that I would be having some pictures along with what I share with you. And about 11 years ago, Beth and I had the opportunity to make a trip to Israel. I don't know if you've had that opportunity yet, but I would highly encourage you, if you ever have an opportunity to go to the Bible lands, take that opportunity. It will cause God's Word to be totally different for you. Because even though it's been 11 years since Beth and I have made that trip, there are times that we will either be listening to a preacher or listening to a Bible class teacher, and they speak about a place that we've been to, and we'll nudge each other. We've been there. We've been there. And what I want to talk to you this evening is about walking with God in order to feed our fire. One of the passages that came to my mind while we were over there is Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, and I found out one thing, I can't read that far away. I must be getting older. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. And looking at those two verses, each time Beth and I went to a different place, I couldn't help but realize that we were in locations that people in the Old Testament had been in, people in the New Testament had been in, and even our Lord and Savior had been at those places. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. One of the places we went to was Jerusalem. And while you're in Jerusalem, you have the opportunity to go down underground, and you're actually on the level that Jesus would have walked. And as Beth and I were going through this passageway, I couldn't help but think about when Jesus entered Jerusalem And when he went to Jerusalem, he went to the temple. And when Jesus went to the temple, he got a little upset. Why did he get upset? Because they were using the Lord's temple in a way that they shouldn't have been using it. Notice in verse 16, he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. And he was teaching them and saying to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" And there were several passages that each time we went to different locations, they would come to mind. And so I won't be able to share every passage with you. But one of the places we had the opportunity to go to was Capernaum. And Andrew has also shared with us some slides of Capernaum. And you're seeing the synagogue here off in the background. And several things about Jesus took place in Capernaum. That's a place where he spent a lot of his time. And one of the passages we have is when we have the centurion. When he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion, Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. And as I was standing there in Capernaum and thinking of this story, I couldn't help but ask myself, do I have that same amount of faith? Do I have the faith that the centurion had, that when he asked the Lord to do something, that he knew the Lord would do it? And another story we have in Capernaum is when Jesus entered Peter's house. And when you're in Capernaum, there is an area off to the side that they have built a large church over it, and it's the area where they feel like Peter's house was. But it gives you chills looking over that way, realizing that if that particular location is not Peter's house, Peter's house was somewhere there in Capernaum. And to realize that Jesus took the time, and when he went into Peter's house and Peter's mother-in-law was sick, what did he do? He healed her. Jesus was constantly busy about taking care of not only the physical needs of people, but also the spiritual needs of people. Another thing that took place in Capernaum is another time when he and Peter went in there and the collectors of the 2 drachma tax came up to them. And they asked Peter, "Does your teacher not pay the tax?" He said, "Yes." And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do kings of the earth take toll or tax? From their sons or from others?" And when he said, "From others," Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free. However, not to give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for yourself." And another time, this is a time of faith, because not often do you go fishing, take a fish, and find a coin in the mouth of the fish. But Jesus told Peter, "Go out, catch a fish, and that coin will be there." I'm very thankful that Rick led the songs that he led, because "The Battle Belongs to the Lord" was our theme song the entire time that we were there. Each time we would go to a new location, we would sing, "The battle belongs to the Lord. In heavenly armor will enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord." We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. And you'll notice the picture over to the right. I enlarged it so you can see it a little bit better. We have a time when Jesus and his disciples were in Caesarea Philippi. And when they were there, this is when he had the conversation with his apostles, and he said, "Who do people say that I am?" And then he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter made the confession and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." And notice the next thing Jesus said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And while Jesus was there, he was pointing to this area that was known as the gates of hell, the gates of Hades. So a lot of times when we read the passage, we think of hell. But where Jesus was in Caesarea Philippi, there was an area known as the gates of hell. And so as Jesus was corresponding with his apostles, he was able to look right over there and said, "Even the gates of hell will not keep you from heaven. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He raised up a standard, the power of his blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. Jesus, as he was living his life, had different times in his life that he had to rely on his Father. And one of those times is when he comes to the Garden of Gethsemane. And when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane with his apostles, we know that it was getting close to the time of his death. And the story that came to my mind when Beth and I were in the Garden of Gethsemane was this story here. When he was talking to his apostles, and he had taken Peter, James, and John a little further with him, and he told them to stand watch while he went off and prayed. Verse 33, "He took with him Peter, James, John, and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch.' Going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, 'Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. And he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy. They did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. And again, as I think of the Garden of Gethsemane, I can't help but ask myself, am I truly watching and praying for when my Lord is going to come again? You know, Jesus has even told us, no man knows when that time is going to be. So the question we've got to ask ourselves in our times of Gethsemane, are we willing to make sure that we are vigilant and stay awake and keep watch? When your enemy presses in hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend. Your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We had the opportunity to go to areas that were similar to what the tomb would have looked like that our Lord was buried in. And we remember the story of when Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome came to the tomb. And they thought to themselves, who's going to roll the stone away? And if you notice from the picture, you'll see an area right here that looks like a trough. And this is where the large stone would have been that covered the entrance to the tomb. And they weren't sure how they were going to get it rolled away. But when they got to the tomb, what had already taken place? The stone had been rolled away. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The other song that I had asked Rick to lead for us is God's Family. And we had the opportunity to actually worship with the congregation in Nazareth. And it was a great experience to be able to worship with them, knowing that Jesus was raised in Nazareth. And I was thinking of the passage here in John 1 where Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, Follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, Come and see. And another story we have of Nazareth is when He went away from there and went back to his hometown, which was Nazareth. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get such things to say? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" They took offense at him, and Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, and among his relatives and his own household. And he could do no mighty work there, except lay his hands on a few sick people, healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went about among the villages teaching." Sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family. And what is neat for me is no matter where we have brothers and sisters in Christ, whether it be India, whether it be Mexico, whether it be Israel, when the Lord comes again, we're going to be gathered with our brothers and sisters in Christ. I have this map that we had the opportunity of being all the way up here near Dan, and we were on the Sea of Galilee, we were along River Jordan, and we even had the opportunity to be down here at the Dead Sea. And we saw the River Dan, which feeds the Jordan River. The Benaiah Springs, which also feeds the Jordan River. The Cedar River, which also feeds the Jordan River. Then we had the opportunity of seeing the Jordan River itself. And in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, we have several passages that talk about the Jordan River. And the Jordan River goes on and feeds the Sea of Galilee. And we have a story that takes place in the Jordan River, and that's when Jesus was baptized. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. We also had the privilege of going to the Sea of Galilee. And one thing that was very interesting about the Sea of Galilee, and while I'm thinking about it, those of you that have access to the Graymere Facebook page, this afternoon I put a post on the Facebook page that gives you links to several pictures from several of these areas, because I knew in a short time I wouldn't have an opportunity to show you a lot of pictures, but there's one about the Sea of Galilee. And what's so neat about the Sea of Galilee, our tour guide that was with us the whole time, he said, "What I like about the Sea of Galilee is that they can't build a temple over the Sea of Galilee." So when you're out on the Sea of Galilee, you have the opportunity to basically see what Jesus saw. And if you look at those pictures out on Facebook, you'll also see some pictures of them demonstrating cast netting. And Jesus several times talked about casting for fish. And so you have the opportunity to see how they actually did that. But what's so neat about the Sea of Galilee is realizing the number of times that Jesus was out on the sea with his apostles. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind and was afraid, he began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." And as we were out on the Sea of Galilee, I could just picture Jesus walking on the water, but then I asked myself the question, do I truly have the faith for me to follow my Lord? Peter initially had that faith because he stepped out of the boat, and what was he doing? He was walking. But then all of a sudden he took his eyes off of whom? Jesus. And the question we've got to ask ourselves, do we take our eyes off of Jesus? Another story we have about the Sea of Galilee is when he told them, "Let's cross to the other side," and leaving the crowd, they took with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. When they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." The wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Walking with God in order to feed your fire. We talked a few moments ago about the fact we've got the Sea of Galilee here, we've got the Jordan River coming down, and it feeds the Dead Sea. About 3 years before Beth and I went, they started to do some studies about the Dead Sea and realized that because of the fact that they were diverting water away from the Jordan River, it was diverting water from the Dead Sea. If you have the opportunity of going with Andrew and his dad to Israel in the next few months, you're going to see a different Dead Sea than Beth and I saw. This is what the Dead Sea looked like when Beth and I were there. And the sad thing about it is that there is even less water in the Dead Sea than there was 11 years ago. And the question I can't help but ask myself is, what about me? Am I the site of a looming spiritual catastrophe? Do I have God's living water flowing through me by Jesus? Or have I allowed it to be diverted to different places. In just a few short minutes, we've sort of visited different aspects of the life of Jesus. We've seen Jesus in Capernaum. We've seen Jesus in Nazareth. We saw Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane. We saw Jesus having risen from the tomb. And we've seen the fact that the Jordan River produced life. The Dead Sea does not produce life. Where am I in that spectrum? Am I allowing myself to become dead? If there's any way that we can help you this evening, please come.